We've been speaking a lot about the mind, about truth, about the way the devil works. And in this season, I've emphasized that facts are not necessarily truth. You can use facts to convey a certain narrative or certain story or create a paradigm or even a belief system based on a set of facts. But those facts might not necessarily be the truth. The only way you can truly encounter truth or understand truth is through a relationship. That is the precise reason why Jesus had to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You can only have a relationship with him to understand truth. So today, when I speak about some of the scripture and some of the things, I've been praying that the Lord would speak into the hearts and lives of people at this time. Not to be alarmist, not to try and create fear, not to just throw out a whole series of facts. That's why I haven't taken an approach of let's study the book of Romans together. It's great to do that, but it's not the season. We need to be relevant to this time. These are very, very dangerous times. These are precarious times for the church. And we need to be on guard. We need to be on watch at this time. So please journey with me through the views of Scripture, through some of the things that I will say. You might not necessarily immediately agree with it. You might find, oh, there's something I don't quite understand it. Because that is our journey to truth. We first investigate it and we first question it. And then we start bargaining with it, and we then are convinced of it when it becomes part of our thinking, our understanding. And then when we start to live truth, then we obey it. Truth that is not obeyed is it's compromise. It's truth that's compromised. And every time we compromise God's truth, there is a consequence. There is a penalty for compromising God's truth. There's a way that seems right to the man, to a man, Scripture says, but the end thereof leads to death. So it's not how we start, it's how we end, and there's a way that seems right. Be careful of the ways of your thinking, the ways of your heart, the ways of your living, the way your lifestyle. If it's not congruent with Scripture, if it's not congruent with the ways of God, firstly, if you're really serious about it, something's going to happen. You're going to be punished because the Lord disciplines whom He loves. He disciplines His sons, His children. Why? Because when we navigate outside of the path He has called for us to follow, the consequence of being off that path leads to death. And Jesus didn't come so that we would die. He said, "I've come," in John 10, "to give you life and life more abundantly." But there is an enemy, we have an enemy, that is constantly trying to lead you off the way. He's constantly scheming. The Bible says, "Be careful of the wiles or the schemes of the devil." He's constantly strategizing how he can get you off the way or off track. And when he knows when we get off track, that's where he can attack us and destroy us. And if we stay there, we are lost forever. But Jesus came to say, "I am the way." You can have a relationship not only with truth, but with this way that you follow. So when we follow Christ, when we are in Christ and when He is in us, we are on a way, we are on a journey, and we have a relationship with truth. Did you know the early church was called people of the way? Why? Because they followed the way, they followed the truth, they followed Christ. But they also led others in the way. The truth should always be exercised and practiced. If you don't practice the truth, then you compromise it, you are disobedient to the truth. And I've learned very quickly that with the Lord, when He says something, obey quickly. I don't need to understand it. I question it, but I don't need to. I realize when God says something, my brain is often delayed. My heart is often resistant to it. So when people say, oh, you must feel at peace when God tells you to do something, for me, that's certainly not one of the measures. When God tells me to do something, I'm always tense. I'm always nervous. I'm always feel incompetent to do it. I never feel like I have the ability to do what God's telling me to do. But when I obey, I see there's a release of grace. There's an impartation of grace that allows me to function at that level to accomplish what God has called me to do. Whenever God calls you to do something, He will always supply enough grace for you to accomplish it. That's why He told Paul, when Paul said, take this thorn of the flesh from me, I can't do this anymore. And three times Paul prayed to the Lord. What did the Lord tell him? My grace is sufficient for you. That's why Paul could say, I've run my race. I've finished my task. I've completed this race. And now awaits for me a crown of glory. And he made the same promise for us. We're running a race. When you run any race, when you cross your lanes, you are immediately disqualified. Do not, child of God, believer, those who are seeking the Lord right now, do not cross your lanes. Do not go outside of the paths of truth. Do not wander off, because that's where the enemy is waiting. He's waiting to lead us astray. We know that wiles is also when the enemy goes about like a roaring lion and he uses his strategies. We know that the concept of what he's doing is he's causing us, the Greek word means to cause somebody to make a wrong decision or a miscalculation. The enemy is very smart at causing us to make a miscalculation. There are decisions that many of us need to make in these tough times. You're going to need to make very, very big decisions about your family, about your life, about your work, about your career. Those who have been studying in a particular career, so many of those careers have not disappeared. You actually need to reconsider whether you want to go back to finish that career, because it's not going to exist in the future. COVID-19 pandemics, this pandemic have destroyed many, many operations, many, many functions in the earth. Businesses are destroyed that might never recover. So if you're studying in that area, you can say, oh, no, I'm going to continue studying. I'm going to finish. And let me ask you, go to the Lord, ask Him what is the way now for you. Hear from Him and He'll give you clear direction. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. So I know none of us want to look like sheep, but we do need to behave like sheep who follows the shepherd. And we know that we have a good shepherd, and His name is Jesus Christ. He wants to give us word. He wants to give us direction. Many people are so fed up living in close proximity with their family now. They're ready to move out. They can't wait to just make a change. There are some marriage relationships at huge risk right now, because you've never lived this closely or had to be in each other's space for this long. You had the natural escape of work. You never had that luxury in South Africa for over 70 days. You've been forced into lockdown. Many people are reevaluating their relationships. They're questioning their marriages and thinking, oh Lord, am I still have another few years to live like this? Today, I want to give you hope. Follow Christ. I guarantee if you take some of these truths that are coming at you and take it in. Don't just say, oh, that's a nice thing to say. But apply it. Truth needs to be applied. Apply these really simple principles to your life. And you will see that most difficult person you living with right now, it's actually the guy in the mirror. It's not the one in the bed next to you or in the next room. It's actually the conflict is in you, and you've never come to terms with that conflict. And the easiest way to deal with internal conflict is to externalize it by blaming somebody else. So take it in, put it into the conduit of truth. Let the Holy Spirit search your heart. I know some of you are thinking, I've done that, and it's still him or it's still her. Let me tell you, if you're in, there's something very important about relationships that God himself is bound by. And it's called a covenant. Marriage is called a covenant. It's a holy covenant. That's why it's called holy matrimony. And these covenants are binding, not just for 10 years or 15 years, or like some of you wish it was like your driver's license, valid for 5 years. The marriage covenant is valid for eternity. It's until death separates you. I know you. Some are thinking, death, yeah, I can't wait for them to die. Let me tell you, the death that you are dying can be resurrected through the Spirit of Christ. I want to speak particularly to relationships today. I want to, now some of you, whenever I say that now, you're so sick of relationships, you're ready to tune into the next church channel. Just bear with me. There's... On Wednesday, I spoke about the mind. I spoke how the enemy attacks the mind. I spoke that we are children of truth. We are children of God. And that how the enemy tries to penetrate our mind. Diabolos is the name that is given to Satan. And that is not his name. It's a description of his name. And it means to penetrate something by throwing an object at it constantly. And we know dia means to penetrate from one, like diameter, from one end to another. The enemy's strategy is to penetrate your mind from one end of your mind to the other end so that you can be completely consumed by that lie. And there's some lies that the enemy has told us. He's a father of lies. Jesus told the Sadducees and Pharisees. And they're like their father, the devil, who's filled with lies. And we ourselves, we need to be careful that we are not consumed by our own lies. You know, the most powerful lies is the ones we believe. And the best liars actually convince themselves that they're telling the truth. So not even a polygraph, a lie detector, can detect that they are lying because they believe their own lies. And some of us have been so diabolos, so penetrated, the enemy has thrown things against us that our minds are completely consumed. We're so depressed. We're so depressed, we don't even want to live with ourselves. And that's why suicide is an easy option, because we are so sick of this. I want to speak into this season and speak hope into your life, because there is a hope and there's a spirit of life that Jesus died and rose again so that he could give us his Holy Spirit. And this is the Spirit of life. And if you have that Spirit in you, it's going to quicken, Scripture says, your mortal body, means that your flesh is transformed. Your thinking is translated. You have a metamorphosis in your mind. There's a change that happens. And your thinking starts to come from a new thinking. So the picture I had early this morning in praying was of different devices that we use. So I've been having a huge challenge during this lockdown period. So I injured my shoulder while swimming. And this lockdown period has cause extreme discomfort for me and extreme pain. So most of the night I wake up probably 10-20 times during the evening. As soon as I move, I'm awake of the pain. So I've been doctoring that and treating it, and I can tell you it's been unpleasant. So last night, for the first time, I sought medical help. I have a friend that's an extremely good physiotherapist, and I went to her and said, I can't anymore. Can you please help me? And I'm not sleeping, I'm struggling. And she started doing some maneuvers on my shoulder. And she's a lot shorter than me. But I tell you, I haven't experienced somebody with such strong muscles who can maneuver your joints. And but what was she doing? She was trying to help me, not hurt me. She was gentle in the way she was helping me, but it still caused pain, and still there was some anxiety in me that my shoulder is going to be ripped off. And she was trying to help me, not hurt me. God's intention is to help us. Sometimes truth can be very painful. It hurts us. But we think that the truth is designed to hurt us. Truth is designed to help us. So this friend of mine, she was helping me by causing some pain. And she wasn't harming me. Lies will harm you. It causes deep injury, but truth will set you free. The knowledge of truth that is practiced will set you free. Jesus says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Knowledge alone does not set you free, but knowledge of the truth that is exercised will set you free. You will know the truth. We have truth all around us. Are we free? No. It's knowledge or an intimate relationship with the truth that will set us free. So I want to, there's some views that we have. You know, and early this morning, the Lord was showing me, do you have, Charles, do you have a microscopic view of my kingdom? Do you see the kingdom under a microscope where everything's enlarged? Or do you have a telescopic view? You're standing outside of the kingdom and looking into the kingdom. And scope really means to see or to look or to peer into or to view or to examine. So do I view the kingdom from a telescopic perspective? Do I stand outside of the kingdom and look in? And many are using a telescope to see into the kingdom, but they never access the truth. They never access the kingdom of God. Some Christians, I call them periscope Christians, you know, like a submarine, it's submerged, but then it's periscope, it pushes its scope out and it looks out on above the ocean to see if there's any dry land, to see if they can see anything above the water. And there are many Christians who are so submerged. And endoscopy is an examination from the inside. So this kingdom needs to be taken by storm. It needs to be taken by force. We need to enter the kingdom of God, and we need to have a view inside of it. And that's why with the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal things to you from the outside. He comes into you. He lives in you. Emmanuel, Christ in you. So this internal view, the inward view of Christ, Him living in you, Christ lives in you. And this, sorry, we had a challenge with the sound. I trust it is fixed right now. This is one of the challenges of live streaming. You don't have control over all the technology, and technology is like the devil, always scheming to trip you up. So if you if you can, let me just refresh in case you miss something. We need to have an inward journey with the Spirit to have an inward view of the kingdom. If you're viewing the kingdom from the outside looking in, then you are just going to be an observer. But when you have an endoscopic view, you are inside the kingdom, Christ is in you and you are in Him, you have an endoscopic view, you realize that you're not actually part of the world system. You might be in it, but you're not controlled by it, you're not part of it. And I want to remind us, in this COVID-19, we are in it, but we are not part of it. Be careful of spreading some of the facts of the season, because it's not present truth aligned with Scripture. So be careful of doing that. We convey the facts and because it's conveyed by you, who is a credible witness, and you now seem to be conveying truth, be careful of what facts you convey. We need to live in the truth. We need to move in the truth. In Him we live and move and have our being. Our very essence is in Him. So in this time of COVID-19, I need you as believers, as the church, to have Christ in you and you to remain in the way, in Him. Remain in Him. You need to be careful of what you consume, what you get involved with, the discussions, the thinking, because the enemy is seeking to penetrate your mind and to destroy this. So you need to have an endoscopic view. And I, for those who are not part of the kingdom, you've never been born again. You've never accepted Jesus Christ. And there are some who you question whether you've actually made that commitment. Scripture says if you believe in your heart, what is that? In your heart is your soul. You accept Christ into your life, into your soul. Those emotions, those will, your mind, your thinking, you are now surrendered to Christ to be controlled by Him. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. You confess that He is the Son of God. You confess that He is the Savior. If you confess that He died for your sin, you shall be saved. You will be, like Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you will be born again. The process of born again is not just lip syncing. It's not just speaking with the lips. The process of being born again is when the Spirit of God unites with your spirit. It comes into you. You invite the Spirit of God into you. And you say, Lord, give me your Spirit. Now, again, when you do that, the Holy Spirit comes in, and when He comes in, there's an endoscopic examination. He examines your heart. So the things that are not of Him, you need to let go so that He can push out. You need to work out your salvation. So when you invite the Spirit in, He works those things which are not of the kingdom, which are not truth, which are lies that you believe. He works it out of you. But you need to allow Him to do that. Otherwise, you will just be consumed. So I can speak a lot about this endoscopy and this examination. We can't come to the table of the Lord without an endoscopic examination where the Holy Spirit searches our hearts and He removes things. There are many of us who have partaken of the table unworthily. Why? We've taken of Christ, we've taken communion, we have eaten of Christ, but we have done it unworthily because we have not let the things of this world out of our lives. We have tried, we have had mixture. In Revelation, God clearly says we need to come out of Babylon, we need to come out of this world. So, I spoke a lot on Wednesday about deception and about how we need to guard our minds and that how the mind of Christ needs to be in us. And I alluded to Ephesians chapter 6, that we are in warfare. Please go back and listen to it if you have the time. If you know it, please continue. But we are people of the Spirit. In COVID-19 and virus going all around, I'm so almost frustrated by Christians who are preoccupied with this virus. They are so afraid. If they could drink hand sanitizer, they would. So we are not those of this world. We do not need to fear the systems of this world. It's failing. Let me tell you, the currencies, the things of this world is failing. The financial systems are failing. The currencies are failing. The systems of this world are not going to last. Yet I find Christians are holding on to it, even looking for ways to invest in that system. Let me tell you, if you're investing right now in the world economic systems, then you're certainly not obeying God. You need to be cautious about even how you operate right now. You need the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We need to be led by the Spirit. I know some of you are thinking, how do I do that? And your motivation is not to be in the way of God. Your motivation is not to have a relationship with truth. Your motivation is just so that you can safeguard your investments or your assets or just be safe. It's our first human primary motivation is self-preservation, to protect ourselves and be safe. As a child of God, our first motivation is not our safety. Our first motivation is the Spirit. It's to obey the Spirit. And sometimes when you obey the Spirit, it is dangerous. You're going to live on the edge. You're going to face dangers. You're going to walk face to face with an enemy that's a roaring lion. And you're not going to fear because of him that lives in you. Romans 8 verse 9, for those who are taking notes, says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. COVID-19 is testing who's of the Lord. It's testing where we stand. Because if you have the Spirit of God dwell in you, you're not part of this system. Your citizenship, your lineage is spiritual. And if you are born of the Spirit, you're not born of the flesh. When you were born naturally, you were born of the flesh. But you needed to be born again of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 3. You have to be born again. And the only way you get born again is when you allow Christ into you. You allow Christ, the Holy Spirit, to invite him into your life. And you invite him into your heart, into your soul, and say, come inside of me, take control, and then the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God. And then you do not live like Romans 8 is a beautiful chapter. We all know Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good for them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we emphasize everything works together for good. Don't worry, everything works together. No, it works together for good when you are called according to his purpose, when you live according to his design, when you walk in his way. And when you're in that way, you live according to his purpose. So, beloved, we are people of the Spirit. Remind yourself, these things of the world, I am just a visitor. My visa to enter this world has been authorized by the King of Kings. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not afraid of viruses or disease or sicknesses. Let me tell you, my wife thinks I'm crazy because I'm not afraid of anything. COVID-19 does not fear me at all. Does it mean I don't wear a mask? I wear a mask. Why? Because I do not want to convey or transfer this virus to anyone. I know that COVID-19 is never going to kill me. I'm not saying that arrogantly, because I know my God, I know my Father, and if He wants to take me, He surely knows where to find me. He knows where I am. So when my time is done, I know that the Lord will call me home. But right now, I want to encourage you, do not fear. Do not fear. And when Joshua had to enter the promised land, three times in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord tells him, be strong and courageous. Do not fear, Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. Do not fear. Be strong and courageous. I want to tell you, church, we are moving into the promises of God. This is the church's greatest hour. As a Spirit-led, full of the Spirit, child of God, this season is for you to take your place. Your companies will be saved because of your presence. And I don't say that arrogantly. I say that because the things of this world is passing away. Everything that's in it. Go and read 1 John chapter 2. The word God, the breathed word of God, the inspired word by His Spirit to us, tells us that the things of this world is passing away. Everything that is in it. Everything that's in it. 1 John 2 verses 15, for those who are taking note. And it's all passing away. Verse 17 says, the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will, or stays in the way of God, will abide forever. He has given angels charge to watch over you. And I explained last week that the angels are given to protect us in our way. When you leave the way, you have no protection. So I want to say, obedience is your protection. Obey the Lord. Jesus, you know, our mission is to obey. Matthew 28, 18, you know, it's the missional statement where we are sent into the world, baptizing all, teaching them about God. So it's the instruction of Jesus. But we forget the last part of that statement, the instruction that Jesus gives them, is teach them to obey. We have to teach people to obey. I need to obey. Let me tell you, the most painful times in my life are the times when I've disobeyed God, where I've stepped out of His way, where I wanted my own way, where I even tried to pray that God would bless my decision that I made. You know, that's the highest form of idolatry. It's when you make a decision and you bring it to God and say, God, won't you bless this? It's the highest form of idolatry. It's what got Cain into trouble. It's to bring a sacrifice and of his own making and then ask God to bless it. No, as people of the Spirit, we function from the Spirit. We don't function from the flesh. If you're going to respond in this season by the flesh and by fear and by reaction that's from the flesh, you're going to succumb. You're going to be led away like everyone else. But we have to function by the Spirit. Love not the world, it says, neither the things of this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. Now, this is where the Lord unpacks what's in the world. These are the systems that govern everything that is in the world. And I'm glad the youth did this 2 weeks ago in their youth meeting, online meeting. They covered this. These are the three things, the systems of the world. If the decisions you make has any one of these systems in it, if the business you run operates on these systems, then it's part of a world system. It's not of Christ. And if you're asking God to bless your business and it's operating on this system, you're an idolatrous people trying to ask God to bless something that is in the world. It's like telling the Lord, Lord, won't you save the devil? Can the devil be born again? Some people ask. So if you want the answer to that question, please get me offline. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The systems of this world, if you find that it's the lust, things that are pleasing to the flesh, many are mourning the death of their old lifestyle, the things that please their flesh, the retail therapy, going to the shop and buying something and feeling better. It's the lust of the flesh. The things of this world, the entertainment, the gambling. Now, look, I'm not so stuck up and religious that I think there's everything that is entertaining is evil. God has given nature, He's given things for our recreation, He's given things in this world for our fun. The most beautiful thing you can do is enjoy nature, exercise, walk, enjoy the fresh air. It releases more endorphins, those hormones that make you feel good, than going to gamble. Because when you go and do those things, it leads to death, and you walk out of that place and you feel depleted. Even if you won the jackpot, you still feel like something's attached to you. What is attached to you? You have just got money that somebody else lost. And that spirit has attached to you, and you can't understand it. It's the greed, it's the lust of the flesh. And you ignore that 10 people has just lost their life savings gambling, but you're the one that won it. And you ignore that. Why? The diabolos has blinded you. The systems of this world is extremely intelligent, is extremely clever. People ask me, Charles, the lotto. Yeah. There are people standing using bread money to buy a lotto ticket. And you win that lotto money. It's not government money. It's not the money that the lotto saved up and gave you. It's money they took from people whose children are hungry. So that's my view. So it's a world system. I will argue that till Jesus comes. And I trust for some of you, He proves me wrong and He proves you right. But for some of us, He's going to say you were disobedient, you followed the systems of this world, you walked outside of my way. So if your business, if your decisions are inside of this world and it's governed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What is the pride of life? It's where you make your own life. It's Maslow, for those who studied sociology or psychology, the theories of Maslow, the theories of motivation, what motivates people, what makes people make decisions. And Maslow said there's a hierarchy of decisions, why you and I make decisions. And he studied with the eyes of the flesh, he studied human behavior. And he extracted some of the key reasons, which is brilliant. The first decision that motivates us is for food, air, and water, physiological needs. We need those things. But then he progresses and he says, then we're going to be driven by security and emotional needs and happiness and love. And Maslow said the highest motivation of any of us as human beings is where we become self-actualized. Actualization, he called it, where we become who we are. We become happy in who we are. We understand who we are. And we have arrived at our zen. We have arrived at our peak. And we are who we are, and we're the best who we are. And we have accepted who we are. And he says that self-actualization is the greatest and the final motivation of all of us. When you reach that point, you have reached your fulfillment and your wholeness. Nobody tells us that on Maslow's deathbed, Maslow said, there is a final motivation for all of us. It's the highest and the purest motivation out of everything. And he said, it's eternity. He said, we as human beings, what should motivate us is eternity. And Proverbs says, he has placed eternity in our hearts. What motivates you today? As I draw to a close, I want to ask you, what motivates you? What governs? Are you governed by the Spirit of God? Are you led by the Spirit? Because those who are led are the sons of God. Those who are not led. So let me put it very simply. So Scripture says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are the sons of God. So what are those who are not led by the Spirit of God? Christians. No. What are those called who are not led by the Spirit? Because only those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. I know we don't like saying it. If you are not a son of God, then you are a son of his arch enemy, Diabolos, Satan. That is your father. That's why Jesus could say to the Pharisees and Sadducees, that's your father. And they could stone him for it. And when I say this, beloved, our Father in heaven, because we have his Spirit in us that cries out, Scripture says, Abba, Father. It cries out, he is our Father. That's why Jesus could say, Abba, Father. When we pray, we don't say, oh God, can you give me this? That's the lust of the flesh. But when we come, we can say, Abba, Father, because his Spirit unites with our spirit. And when we pray, it says that even our spirits then, who don't, our mind, our fleshly mind, doesn't understand the things of the Spirit, so much so that the Spirit cries out with groanings, with sighs unto God. I think that our spirits are so fed up with our carnal, fleshly wants and lust within us. So I close with this, because some of you are living with people. I started saying, you live with people that you wish you could just go to the office or get away or just have a break. Let me say that those people are possible children of God, or they're probably deceived, they've been consumed. And if they are not led by the Spirit, they are led by the spirit of this world. You need to, as a child of God, you need to love them. If you don't love them, then you are not led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is not in you. Then what are you? You're not his son. It's as simple as that. Those who are led by the Spirit obey the Spirit, and the systems of this world, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, it's where you become self-actualized. What are the systems of God? And Paul sums it up beautifully for us in 1 Corinthians 13. He gives us such a beautiful picture. He says, now, after everything, in some verses it says, and these three remained. The Christian Standard Version or the Complete Word Study Bible, which I love using, says, and now, for you, in your situation, in the frustration that you're going through in your life, I want you to tell the devil, and now abideth. What stays in me is faith, hope, and love. And Paul says, the greatest of these three is love. The systems of the kingdom that is ruled by the Spirit operates on completely different characteristics, completely different systems. And he says, those, like the world, it's about lust of flesh, of the pride of life. It's about the carnal nature. the Spirit-led child of God who walks in the way of the Lord. These are the systems that governs them. It's faith. Are you having a faith response right now to the things around you? It's hope. I want to tell you that our hope is in Christ. There is no harm that can touch us without His permission. And if it touches us, it's for our discipline, it's for our correction, and it's for our perfection, because Jeremiah says He's not called us to harm us, but a hope to give us a hope. And this is it. We have faith, we have hope, and we have love. Do you have love? Because God is love, 1 John 4 says. And if He's love and He lives in you, your response to everything around you will be His nature. It will be love. Do you love? Do you love those who are being deceived by the devil? My heart bleeds for the world who's captured by the world, the sin. You watch how they've denied themselves, they've abased themselves, and have become so fleshly and consumed by lust. You see the evil on television, the things that are so wicked, and the Christian church condones so many of those things. Why? Because we are not led by the Spirit. And we need to have a loving response, not a judgmental response, but a loving response, because love casts out all fear. So I want to invite you to do some homework for me as we close. And this is the homework you need to do. I want you to ask, the things that come out of me makes me unclean. The words that you speak, those words that you speak come from thoughts that you think. It comes from what's going on in your head. And you need to think about, examine the thoughts and examine your words. Because by the time it comes out, it's already come from what's been brewing in your heart. And I want to say, some of you, I'm praying this morning in early hours, this is some of the things I ask the Lord to deal with me. Search my heart so that the thoughts that I think, you know, some people can frustrate you, and the thoughts you think are really murderous thoughts. It's like some of you swear in your head. It doesn't come out of your mouth, but it's in your head. Why? It's because you watched all those movies that's filled with swearing or profanity or pictures that are wicked. And so it's in your head, and so sometimes it will just slip out. If you are filled with the Spirit, what will slip out? Things of the Spirit, not things of the world. It's things of the Spirit. So what you fill you with eventually comes out. And I want you to do this. I want you to ask yourself, this week, or the past few days, the things that came out of my mouth, the thoughts that went on my head, were they part of the world system? About the way I thought about others, was it clean or unclean? Was it harmful? Was it hurtful? The words that come out could be very hurtful, and it could be very harmful. It could cause destruction. Some of you need to have the hard conversation with the people you're living with, because you have been carrying harmful things in your heart. Things that they have done and their behaviors have caused you to carry deep hurt. It has caused you to, their words have hurt you deeply. And that hurt has, they never intended to harm you, but their words have hurt you. Harm means that they caused a permanent damage to you. When I go, and I love the book Boundaries, they use an illustration of the dentist. When you go to the dentist, does the dentist hurt you? Of course he does. I mean, I don't enjoy a needle in my jawbone. Neither do I enjoy them grinding on my teeth. I've got an amazing dentist, and he's quick. So I love the fact that you get it done with quickly. But I know my dentist, Dr. Groener, doesn't want to harm me. He is helping me by getting the plaque off or getting the cavity out or doing a root canal. He's hurting me, yes, but he is not harming me. The hurt is what I experience. But when I ate those sweets and those sugary substances and it stuck to my teeth, did those sweets hurt me? No, I loved it. I still enjoy sweets. Did it harm me? Of course it harmed me. I had permanent damage. I had tooth decay that was harmful, that was permanently destructive to my teeth. I needed fillings, or in some cases needed an extraction because it had infected the root. Beloved, there are some discussions that you need to have with family around you, because their hurtful words has actually harmed you. It has permanently hurt your heart. You need to go to them and say, I know you didn't mean to harm me, but your hurtful words has caused a harm inside of me. Your behavior and reactions, the way you do things or did things, has hurt me. Please don't go to them and say, you see, you're part of the world, you're from the devil, you are the liar. That is an accusation. And then you are not being in the Spirit of God to resolve things. You are not a peacemaker. Some of you are very good peacekeepers. You keep quiet. But inside your heart, you are stabbing that person a million times. You are thinking thoughts. You're even swearing at them in your mind. But that poison has entered your heart. The way you deal with it is when the Spirit of God comes in. Firstly, you release that person from any guilt. You release them from you wanting to kill them. You release your heart from wanting to take revenge. And then you can have the conversation with the aid of the Holy Spirit in you. You sit down with them and you say, I'm hurt. You have something you did harmed me. And there are some sins that you have committed against your own self that have been harmful to you. There are lustful things, pornography, things of this world system that you have done that has permanently harmed you. Let me tell you, today as we sit here, Jesus has come to heal every harm and every hurt. The word, he says, I've come to save you. The word save means to be sozoed or to made completely whole. Jesus didn't come to harm you. And sometimes when we are disciplined, it's hurtful. But he has come to heal us. He has come to make us whole. And in this pandemic, it's a season for you as a child of God to be made whole. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And if you can't conquer Goliath within you, forget about conquering Goliath outside of you. So as I pray today, and as we come to a close, and Timothy is, I'm so looking forward to Araya greeting us from the Lingerfeld family, I want you to come and say, Lord, I bring my whole life to you. There are things that I've trusted and depended on. There are ways that I've behaved and followed that has really been damaging, that has showed that I'm not led by your Spirit. I've been led by the flesh. And I've been part of a world system. I ask today that you fill me, Father, with faith, with hope, and with love, and that everything I do will be governed by these three principles of your kingdom. And Lord, may the greatest of all May your love motivate me. May it fill me. Holy Spirit, I invite you now, as we're in the season of Pentecost, where the rain of your Spirit has been flowing freely for the world, I ask that, Holy Spirit, you would come, that you would witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. Bless this ministry to my soul, my heart, and my life. May I forever be changed, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.